Good morning. I'm Vicki Logan, and I will be serving this morning as your liturgist slash cheerleader. I'm glad you're here. I want to welcome everyone, especially our visitors, to our continuing sermon series on faith through the decades. Last week was the 50s, today is the 60s, and I have to tell you, as I was digging out this uniform, I lifted up a little prayer that this 54-year-old fabric would not disintegrate during the service. But I welcome you all, and I encourage you this week to take just a few minutes to go through your treasures from the 70s so that you can wear them and share them next Sunday morning. There are attendance pads that are located on the pews next to the center aisle, and I ask at this time that you please take the time to sign both members and visitors so that we have a record of your attendance. And while you're doing that, I have just a few announcements. Don't forget that we are going through our cutest baby photo contest as we speak, and it is not too late. If you were a cute baby or you have a cute baby, the photo needs to be ages 2 or under, but you can still turn those in to the church office. They will display them in the WAC, and then we will vote. Our youth is having a praise band camp, which will begin July the 30th. If you are a student or if you know a student who would be interested in the band camp, then you can contact Scott Southern, who, by the way, will be teaching individualized instruction at the camp, or Amy Shores. And the youth have invited all of us to their last worship session at the camp, and that will be August the 3rd, 7 p.m. in the warehouse. So you might want to put that on your calendar. Also, the United Methodist Women are having a luncheon today at noon in the warehouse. All the ladies of the church are invited, and they will have a very special guest speaker. Tom Brannon will be discussing Channel 11's 17-year participation in the cereal drive. We, as a church, are also asked to start bringing cereal, which will be collected and given eventually to the Arkansas Food Bank. There are so many wonderful things going on in the life of the church, so I would refer you to the last page of your bulletin to make sure that you're up on everything. And now I invite you to extend the hand of fellowship as we stand, greet one another, and pass the peace of Christ. Would you stand as we join together in our hymn of praise, "How Great Is Our God," and you will find this on an insert in your bulletin.
Oh, Please remain standing for our affirmation of faith, which today is the Nicene Creed. It's number 880 in the hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Good morning, and how are we today? We're all good. Miss Vicki has something in her hand. What is that? A ring. You agree? That is a ring. Do you see on that ring any place where it begins or ends? Yes, and it just goes around and around and around, doesn't it? It does. And so that I won't lose it, I'm going to put it on mine right now. Yes, right on my finger. That ring symbolizes love, and that's why we exchange rings when we get married, to show our love that just goes on and on and on. And did you know that that's how God loves you? I bet you didn't know that God loved you, knew you and loved you before you were even born. Did you know that? God loved you before your parents even knew you. And God loves you today, and he's going to love you forever. That is pretty awesome, isn't it? Yes. So let's bow our heads and pray with me. All heads bowed. Dear God, thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love that goes on and on and on. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. And the candy is that way. As we begin our prayer time this morning, I want to remind you that there are a number of concerns, people who really need your prayers listed in the bulletin. Please don't forget them as you go through your week. And in addition to those, I would like you to add to your prayer list Charles Ward Sr., who is now in hospice care. Remember Jamie Jones in the loss of her father. Pat Parson is in the hospital. My understanding is that she's soon to be released, so remember her. And David Moore's mother-in-law, who is near death. A lot that we need to lift to the Father. So would you bow with me in prayer? Precious Lord, you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
You have always been and you always will be. You have seen your people stray from your ways so many times over the centuries, and sadly this decade is no different. But your love knows neither bounds nor ends. Heavenly Father, help us to remember that you know all things, see all things, love all things. You provided a way that we could have our sins wiped away, past, present, and future. We thank you, Father, for a magnificent love that we really cannot fully comprehend. A love so great that you sent your only Son to die for our sins. So, Father, today we praise your name and lift the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's bless our morning offering together. Loving God, we thank you for your blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We seek to please you using these gifts in ways that will bring honor and glory to your church and to your kingdom. We desire your blessings, as those will remain, and the things of this world will decay and fall away. We pray for your grace as we worship you today with these offerings. Amen.
Far fall again.
Now, if you would remain standing for our hymn of meditation, which is also on the insert in your bulletin, Good, Good Father.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'd like for you to turn to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll be reading beginning with chapter 7. And I pray these words, as they're read aloud, that they fall upon your ears and find a place inside your heart. Verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, some of you have already asked where my Harley is and where my leather jacket is, and I couldn't figure out a way to get it in here, so you'll just have to deal with the black and white that we come up with today. Well, last week we went through the 50s. A lot of fun. This week, though, we're going to go through the 60s. Now, if you remember last week, we talked about the moral compass of our nation. One of the issues that we talked about is when people got pulled away from mainstream religion and societal norms. And if you remember, I likened that pull to a magnet, that when you get a magnet so close to that compass and you move the magnet, the pointer can't help but follow that magnet around. Well, this week I'm not going to talk about a compass. I'm going to talk about two houses on opposite sides of the street, and each that has a viewpoint in opposition to one another. The simmering of the 50s that we went through has turned into the action steps of the 60s. The 1960s was a polarizing time. No matter what phase of society you look at, you will see more opinions on the two ends of the spectrum than you do in the street down the middle. If we look at this time retrospectively, we can understand why this decade was sometimes called the Dark Decade. God had been left out of many of our activities, and we as a country suffered because of it. The peace movement began in this decade with such phrases as, make love, not war. But the 60s saw this peaceful landscape change, and it was besieged by many sides. The civil rights movement, the explosion of the KKK, the Black Panther movement, the sexual revolution, Vietnam, women's liberation, and new alternative religions like yoga and transcendental meditation, Buddhism and Hinduism, all changed the tradition of the church and its teachings, challenged its leaders and their actions. In the late 60s and into a little bit into the 70s, religion itself was not so much rejected as it was institutionalized for this reason. The church could then be lumped into institutionalized government, and institutionalized big business, and institutionalized military, those comprising the establishment. Well, the establishment was denounced by many young adults in the 60s for its materialism, its power ploys, self-interest, and just plain smug complacency. The anti-establishment had made a call to action against all it opposed. Well, the 1960s in America was an era of so-called new ideas, such as new religious movements, new spiritual awakening, and freedom from conformity. Hippies began to rebel against established traditions, such as their parents' religion and cultural expectations. This was a time, in their mind, of freedom, peace, love, beyond existing comprehension. Many of these individuals sought to expand the horizons of their minds by gaining new experiences and fresh perspectives on the world. Experimentation with psychedelic drugs that I mentioned last week began in the 50s, took off in the 1960s, and it gave them the illusion of being spiritually free with such drugs as LSD and other psychedelic drugs. They thought that they had the path to the true nature of existence. Sadly, this path was very damaging and in most cases, deadly. The civil rights movement of the 50s gave rise to the civil rights clashes in the 1960s. One such clash was the St. Augustine protests. This attempt at desegregation in St. Augustine, Florida, began as a peaceful march to the old slave market in that city. Well, the marchers were assaulted by police with clubs. Dr. Martin Luther King and others attempted to have lunch at an all-white restaurant at a motel. They were arrested and thrown in jail. A group of desegregated youths heard of this. They marched on the motel and attempted to use the pool. The owner of the motel actually poured acid into the pool to keep them from using it. Imagine. A year before this incident in 1963 was the famous March on Washington. Some of us remember this event with pictures of the Capitol Mall completely packed with people, upwards in counting of approximately 300,000 people. It's where Dr. Martin Luther King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech, and it was heard around the world. It was a pivotal moment in the civil rights movement with that speech. We could go on and on about the dark moments of the 1960s with such events as the Vietnam War protests. College campuses became hotbeds of controversial movements, and who could forget the tragedy of lives lost at Kent State? Other dark moments was the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, his brother Robert F. Kennedy, and Dr. Martin Luther King. I remember coming home on that day from kindergarten when President Kennedy was assassinated and seeing the news reports on the old black and white TV kind of setting up. And I asked my mom what was going on because I didn't understand, and we stood there and watched together. If you visit the Overlook Pavilion up at Greer's Ferry Lake by the dam, they call it the Overlook Park, you'll see a plaque memorializing the dedication of that dam by President John F. Kennedy. That was his last major public appearance. This act of dedication of the dam was on October the 3rd, 1963, before traveling to Dallas the next month in November. You know, with all of that said, been kind of down on you this morning. It's a downer, as they said in the 60s. It's a wonder we ever made it out of the decade. Well, the 60s were not always full of controversy, violence, and protests. In spite of all these things we've talked about and more this morning, there was some industry-changing events that occurred during those 10 years. While some governments had already launched satellites up into outer space to primarily do just some experimentation, Bell Labs, NASA, AT&T, United Kingdom's General Post Office, and France Telecom launched the first major communication satellite. You remember? Telstar 1. It was less than 3 feet long and weighed about 170 pounds, smaller than that altar. It began transatlantic TV signal feed and relayed phone calls through space. Remember the Andy Griffith Show? Andy would pick up the phone to call Mount Pilot, and he would click the receiver, and who did he ask for on the other end? Sarah. That's right. Sarah was never seen on the show, but everybody that wanted to make a long-distance phone call had to pick up the phone and ask for Sarah. Well, the 60s saw the need for operators like Sarah dwindle when direct dialing technology enabled folks to dial the number themselves instead of clicking on that receiver to get the operator. And just listen to these. These will amaze you. The top 10 inventions of the 60s: the artificial heart in 1969, the handheld calculator in 1967, I think it did four functions, audio cassette tapes in 1962, the computer mouse that we all use today in 1964, electronic fuel injection in 1967, and I think it was in the Oldsmobile Toronado, if I remember correctly. Basic computer programming language. Stands for all-purpose, beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. I actually learned how to do that in the 70s. The ATM in 1969. Wow. Random access memory took computers from the big rooms to our desktops in 1968. Halogen lamps replaced gas as electric in 1960. And acrylic paint made it fast drying when you could spray it out of a can in the early 60s. Wow, what advancements we made during the decade in technology. However, mainstream religion was still besieged by the counterculture and its impact. The Apostle John wrote in verse 7, as we read this morning, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God." Most would interpret this love as an emotion. However, this love John is speaking of is not. It's an action. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 gives us a good look at this love John is talking about. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Actions, all of them. Jesus is the perfect example of this love in action, as everything that he did in life and in death to show this supreme love. The Holy Spirit guides us in these actions, as described in 1 Corinthians, to conform us into the likeness of Christ. This is an action, not just a warm fuzzy. Another twisting of mainstream religion was the rewriting of verse 8, where John wrote, God is love. Well, the Make Love Not War movement twisted this around to say love is God. The world at the time, to some extent today, puts love as the end goal, not God. To reach this emotional end point, the end justified the means. Moral principles were sacrificed in search of self-love. A twist of an old phrase gained popularity: if it feels good, do it. Remember? Perspective turned inward instead of outward. Selfish desires, self-gratification took the place of the family-centered, God-centered values of the 1950s. John finishes our scripture this morning by telling us what this love really is. He writes, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Sometimes this world tries to reinvent God by creating him in our image. Ouch. We try to explain away things where his hand is obviously in it by saying, oh, that was just a coincidence. Or another saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. Yeah, it's not found in the Bible. Now, there's a lot of talk in the Bible, don't get me wrong, about what is clean and what is unclean relative to the Jewish traditions. But with this phrase, the world would have us think that we can merely clean up our outsides and be seen as godly, in spite of what is on the inside. The baby boomers of the 40s and 50s sure made their mark on the 60s, didn't they? But let's not throw them into the fire just yet. As we progress through the decades, we'll see how Proverbs 22:6 is really true. In the NIV, it reads, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it." This is the immeasurable, unfathomable love God has for us. He created us to love, an action. He cares for us, But then again, he loves sinful people. Amen. He gave us the freedom to choose because he wants a loving response from us. He gave his only son for us because he wanted to provide us a way to have our sins atoned. And it's through atonement we can receive eternal life. God has provided all of this because he loves us. All this is action, not just a warm fuzzy. So I ask you this, what is your action this day to our loving God? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is Open the Eyes of My Heart. It is seen on your insert as we're standing. If you would like to join this church by transfer of letter or as a profession of faith, your time is now to come forward. And as always, our prayer rails are open if you'd like to come have a quiet moment with our God this morning as we sing. Praise band do great this morning. And this is just the beginning. It is so good to see all of you, friends, family, in worship, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's just so good to be in God's house this morning. Please bow your head and receive this blessing. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And Father, help us to go out this week, serve you, not in just thinking about it, Lord, but in action. Tell someone about your son. Tell someone about how you can meet that son at Asbury United Methodist Church. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.